The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Department of Social Protection has proposed pension auto-enrolment, which is a new retirement savings scheme for employees that's meant to be implemented on the 30th of September next year. Under auto-enrolment, all employed workers who are not already in a pension scheme will be automatically enrolled in the new national scheme. I'm joined in studio by Colin Fagan, a retired actuary, past president of the Society of Actuaries in Ireland, who's calling for a different approach to auto-enrolled pensions than that which is proposed by the government, because he claims that this proposal from government could be one of the costliest projects in the history of the state. Colm, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's start by saying, what is the proposal from the state? How is it going to work?
Well, they're not sure themselves yet how they're going to work. I mean, it will be...
In terms of contributions, we know.
Contributions, yes. And they're talking about having that each individual will choose whether they want to be in a high risk, medium risk or low risk fund. And there's a default option for them. But each person has their own little individual pot.
So in the sense that you think a national scheme, would you just pay and everyone pays in according to what they're earning, and the pot at the end of the day will reflect what they've put in and what the government has put in and what the employer has put in. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be quite specific. Every employee
will have their own. I suppose the key aspect on that is that the scheme for 800,000, they plan to have 800,000 people in it, will be exactly the same structurally as for an individual person on their own, or for six people or an eight people person company.
And I suppose so you would have, if you were one of these people on this scheme, you would have a Colm Fagan account.
Exactly.
And that would have to be observed and managed by somebody.
Exactly. And the units would be going up and down every month, and you'd have to choose whether you're investing in a high risk, medium risk or low risk fund.
Right. Now, what we do nationally with the National Treasury Management Agency, we get them to do the investing on our behalf. We don't expect, you know, each government department that might have an interest in the outcome of those investments to be doing it. We employ a central outfit to do it. We're not doing that with this auto-enrolment. And
as well as that, if you look at it, I mean, you're right, this should be seen as a type of a national long-term pension fund, because they'll be putting money into it for the next 30 years or so. And no money will be taking out, so it should be managed that way.
Like big time
long-term investments. Every investment should be looking for the long-term.
A mixture of high risk and low risk and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, but the key point is that you're looking to the very long term. You don't have to cash out anything for 30 years, but yet at the little individual level, you will have that they're planning for the 55-year-old that they'll be selling their investments on the market.
This seems to be crazy, that each account for each individual will actually be managed separately. Now, what I see when I see that, I see fees. So there'll be fees for every single account, which are not necessary, because there'll be so many identical accounts. Why should they not be viewed as a collective? And yet we're going to have fees on every single little account, which is big bucks for the providers, which is something that I think is insane if the government goes ahead with this.
Yes, and that was one of the points that I've been making when I was commenting last week about it. The original plan was that there would be a percentage of funds charged, but they're now saying that there'll be a fee for each individual to administer their accounts. So someone would say €20 in their account will be charged the same for administration.
So someone who's got €500,000 in their account, they pay a flat fee, and the person with, say, €2,000 in their account pay the same flat fee.
Exactly. But the point
insane.
Is that an awful lot of the people will have only €20 in their account, because there'll be very small balances at the start and a lot of people drop out. Now, commercial providers are prevented from levying cash charges against members' accounts for precisely that reason, that it would be unfair to the smaller accounts.
Charging a big fee to a small account.
Yeah, or a flat fee to a small account is much. I say, you know, if you charge €20 on a flat fee on a €20 account, the same as a 2000.
The theory is, of course, that if you've a small amount of money in that account, that the amount of expertise that's required to invest that €20 is minimal.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got 500,000 in an account, you should be applying very careful metrics
yeah, no, they
to
are,
what you're
no,
doing.
They are distinguishing between the investment charge and the administration charges. The administration charge, they say, is the same for each. And there is a logic to that. But the point is that they're not allowing commercial providers to do that. They're saying that that would be unfair on the small parts. So here they are saying, on the one hand, that they won't allow the commercial providers to levy a flat charge, but they're saying the state will levy a flat charge.
But is the state not using private companies to do all of this for them? I mean, are they not going to select designated providers?
No, the administration will be done centrally.
Yeah, but in terms of the investment...
At the individual level, and they have... already they have chosen a provider now to do the administration. Yes, in terms of the investment, yes, they will be farming that out to different investment providers.
So this national auto enrollment scheme, depending on which provider that you end up with, you could do very well or you could do very badly.
Well, no, I think
based on the investment decisions made by those individual providers.
No, well, there are only three funds in total for people.
Okay,
and so they will have different people managing the funds at different times.
Okay, but you still could do better with one than with another.
Oh, you definitely could, yes.
Now, there's another idea that when people who are in the fund reach the age of 51, their units, the money they own, in fact, themselves, in this fund, they have to change that from whatever risk profile it has at that age to a low risk profile because people are approaching retirement.
Well, there's two. Number one, for the people who are very sophisticated, but there will actually be very few of those. They will decide themselves on things. But for people who are not sophisticated, which would be the vast bulk of the people who will be in this scheme, they are going to put them into a high risk fund until they're age 51. And then when they reach precise age 51, they will be moved, which is 15 years from the so-called
retirement. So they could have lost their shirt on the high-risk fund on their 50th birthday, and then on 51, even though they haven't had time to recover, because the high-risk may deliver a bonanza in that last, they're automatically shoved off.
They're shoved into the medium and then into the low-risk fund 5 years before retirement. And that is it's a terrible waste of resources, because if you look at it at a total national level, they're still getting money flowing in. So there's no need.
In other words, they shouldn't be designated each individual's contributions. They should be saying a certain proportion of this fund will always be in low risk, a certain proportion of the fund will be in medium risk, and a certain proportion of the fund will be in high risk. This is the way they do it in the private sector. So therefore, that's the way it should be done, not on an individual person-to-person basis.
Exactly. You have that the manager should always be choosing the investments to deliver the best possible long-term return for the fund.
Now, why might this be the most costly project in the history of the state?
There are two aspects to it. One is the total contributions being paid by employers, employees and the state. And that would be 20 billion, that's 20,000 million, in the first 10 years of the scheme. And then it would be at 4 billion a year after that. And it's incomprehensible that they've agreed to go into this without any consideration of whether they're getting good or value for money or in terms of the administration.
You're calling for an assessment by whom?
Said the ESRI.
ESRI to look at this before they jump in on the 30th of September. Take a breath.
Exactly. But it's more than that, because if you look, they've modelled it on the UK's NEST scheme. And the NEST scheme, there's between a quarter and a third of the people in that scheme leave every year. So if you have, if they go ahead with the scheme as proposed, and if we have the same experience as NEST in the UK, of the 800,000 people who join, only 30,000 of them will still be there after 10 years. Now, to have 30,000, in other words, the other, whatever it is, for an actuary, I'm not great at the sums, 770,000, 770,000 people will have all
gone
out.
So it's clearly not working.
It's not working. And we don't know. Now, the UK could be different. But all I'm saying is have someone like the ESRI go through it with a fine tooth comb.
Draw a breath, as I say. Yeah. Absolutely. Colm, it's stimulating stuff, and many of our listeners are getting in touch on the subject. I'll bring those comments later on. But Colm Fagan, retired actuary, past president of the Society of Actuaries in Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.